Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget to check out our blog. Elizabeth Chu is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She is Associate Curator at Monticello in the beautiful mountains of Virginia, hard by to Charlottesville, just up the mountain from Mickey Tavern, and about, 150 miles or so from our nation's capital. Maybe not that far. I can't remember exactly. But she is, ladies and gentlemen, if you're collecting, if you do as I do, and you're collecting people whose jobs you covet, then if you're like me and you do that sometimes, people that you really would, in any given day, you'd like to have their job, Elizabeth Chu has got to be one of those people because she gets to work at one of the coolest places on the planet. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
I envy, I love doing what I do, Elizabeth, but I swear I envy what you do.
Well, I'm pretty lucky. I actually have my office on the second floor of Monticello.
Oh, do your worst.
I go up and down Jefferson's narrow staircase many times a day.
Do your worst. Oh, boy. You know, folks, I went to Monticello for the first time on a senior trip way back in 1967. I was a senior in high school. You can go ahead and do the math now, folks, those of you who didn't know how old I was. I am. We went there, and here I am, this, you know, right off the farm, going to this place, and, you know, the bus pulls in there, and we get out. And, of course, I've always been a history nut, and or at least part of that's true. And Elizabeth, my visit to Monticello as a 17-year-old changed my life, really, in some ways. I mean, I've been back to Monticello, but I've never forgotten that first time when I saw all the things that Mr. Jefferson created. It just amazed me.
It's a truly remarkable place, and it's beautiful, it's fascinating, it has really everything to offer.
Well, I love the calendar that goes through the floor. Tell the audience about
that. Oh, yes. Well, Jefferson installed this calendar clock in the entrance hall at Monticello, and he had actually designed the clock for a house that he lived in Philadelphia when he was living there. And when he brought it home to Monticello to put it in, he found that his large room was actually too small. So in order to allow the weights that kept the clock running to drop down far enough, he had to cut holes in the floor. And the clock also has a calendar function where the names of the days of the week are on the side of the wall, and you can read what day it is by where the weights are. He had to put Saturday in the basement. as per usual with Jefferson, it was an ingenious solution to a problem.
Well, it never occurred to him not to do anything else. You know, it was just a practical thing. And so apparently the house that it was originally designed for had higher ceilings. So he had to cut a hole in the floor. And folks, you got to go see this. And he had an ice cellar.
He was able to serve ice cream on July the 4th. Much to the amazement of his guests, he would cut ice out of the river in the wintertime and store it in the ice house, packed in sawdust, all through the summer. And he would have cool drinks and ice cream in the heat of July.
Right. What do we need to know about Thomas Jefferson that we don't know?
Well, one thing that I find really fascinating about Jefferson is that as a man of the Enlightenment, he was committed to using the newest technology of his time to make life better. He firmly believed that human thought and reason could improve the condition of human lives. And so that explains why he was a gadget guy. That explains why he was always on the outlook for anything that would make either his life in his house easier or his plantation and farms more efficient. He would have loved our current sort of technological world that we live in today.
Oh,
I have said, if he came back today, he would still write it home.
I'm glad you said that, because I have said this, folks. You've heard me say this many times, that Thomas Jefferson and other founders, Franklin and Adams who else? I was trying to think of what's the oh, shoot. I'll think of his name in a minute. There's another one I was thinking of, that if you drop them in the middle of America right now, they'd be fully functioning in 30 days.
I totally believe that. Jefferson would be thrilled, I think, with the,
right,
with the internet, with the exchange of information that we have today, with kind of open access to, you know, to information. That was one of his fundamental beliefs within sort of free sharing of information.
Right.
One thing I didn't know myself until last week is that Jefferson served on the very first patent board that ever existed in the United States.
I didn't know that either.
But he was not that big of a believer in patents, because he believed in the free sharing of ideas.
Right.
And in fact, he never patented his own inventions or adaptations of things.
You know, and Hamilton was the other guy I was trying to say.
Oh,
Alexander,
sure,
Hamilton.
Yes.
I just couldn't get his name out for some reason. But anyway, those guys were so intelligent, so smart, so advanced. And the fact that a guy like Jefferson could sit down and I read about what was going on, you know, he was recommended to write this, to be the Southerner actually on the group of committee members. There were actually three or four things that were recommended, different things that were recommended for the independence, the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And Jefferson was chosen as the Southerner to represent those committees. And Adams recommended him, even though they later became, in many ways, bitter enemies.
Yeah.
To a large degree, Adams actually recommended him because he said Jefferson, and as good a writer as Adams was, which,
yes,
we now know he was a great writer, he said Jefferson was 10 times better writer than he.
Jefferson was a beautiful writer. He was extremely, extremely well-read, even by the standards of his peers. And he was able to put ideas together in a way that was just truly magnificent.
And he was a little bit of a—he was like a lot of us writers, Elizabeth. He was had a little bit of an attitude about his own thoughts. And when he wrote the Declaration of Independence and presented it to the Continental Congress, to the committee members and the people who were looking at this, they wanted to make some changes, and he was a little indignant about those changes.
That's right, but they went ahead and did it.
Well, no, none of us writers, Elizabeth, are in love with our editors. You know, we always have that. If we wrote it, you know, if I wrote it, it must be perfect. How could it not be? Elizabeth
right.
Chu, ladies and gentlemen, she's associate curator, Monticello. We got a lot more to come. Happy 4th of July. It's 20 after. Stay with us.
I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're celebrating the 4th of July by talking to a new friend, Elizabeth Chu, who's the associate curator at Monticello, one of my favorite pieces of real estate on the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to Monticello, when you go to Monticello, I should say, folks, go out of your way to go there if you get a chance. Wait if you have to. I don't like lines, Elizabeth, but if I have to, I'll wait in line to see Monticello. It's just a fascinating place. It's a wonderful part of the world. Beautiful mountains of Virginia, hard by to Charlottesville, up the road from Mickey Tavern, where they got the best chicken, the best fried chicken. You know, one of my Brain Trust members is Floyd Hurt, Elizabeth, who lives in Charlottesville, and he knows how much I love the chicken at Mickey Tavern, and he goes over there and he gets the food and sits out on the decks out there in the chairs with those tin plates,
right,
and he gets his mouth full of chicken and he calls me on the cell phone to tell me how good the chicken is. You know, with, he telling me about the chicken grease dripping down his chin, you know, and how good the apple cobbler is and all that.
It is some wonderful fried chicken, that's
for
sure.
He just rubs it in, and I hate him for that. Okay, what's happening today on the 4th of July at Monticello?
Well, today, as we have done every July 4th since 1963, Monticello will host a naturalization ceremony.
Wow.
And
I didn't know that.
people from 39 countries, 75 people from 39 countries will become U.S. citizens today on the West Lawn of Monticello. It is a wonderful event with the most beautiful backdrop imaginable.
Why doesn't some television network cover that?
Well, sometimes usually our local affiliates cover it, but it's never really had any national coverage that I know
of. I don't understand that. What a great place to be naturalized.
It's a wonderful place. And at the end of the ceremony, the new citizens are given a chance to make some remarks if they wish to, and it's just the most beautiful, patriotic thing you can imagine to hear these new citizens talking of their pride at having just become Americans.
You know, all Americans should witness something like that.
Absolutely, absolutely true.
If we wanted to get reinvested in who we are, if you're feeling a little ambivalent about who you are as Americans, go talk to somebody who just became an American.
That is so true.
Who chose to be an American? Who worked hard? Who had to earn their citizenship?
Right. That's right.
What do they tell you? What are some of the things that they talk
about?
Well, they
often say that they have, that they have had terrible experiences, or that they've been here many years and just finally decided that it was time to do it. That they were so grateful for what they had in this country. There really are sort of as many different reasons as there are people. It's wonderful to watch the pride on the faces of the people and their families who were all gathered on the West Lawn of Monticello.
What would Thomas Jefferson say about that?
Event? Jefferson was extremely invested in sort of the responsibility that citizens have. And I think that the people who I've seen be naturalized at Monticello are very proud and very much aware of what a great sort of privilege it is to be an American citizen. And they're, they're not taking it for granted at all. It's something that they've worked hard for, and they are so happy on the day that it happened for them.
Well, these are people who you're naturalizing there have something in common with Mr. Jefferson and all the other founders. These are people who had to fight and earn. The new citizens didn't have to fight necessarily as the founders did.
Right.
But they did have to earn their citizenship as the founders
did. And something that fascinates me about the founders really is the true creativity that these guys had to imagine an entirely different world from being British colonists, and to imagine and really create the world that they could imagine.
And the concept of freedom didn't exist anywhere else.
That's right.
And the American concept of freedom was a new world phenomenon.
That's right. The idea of liberty as opposed to the tyranny of the monarchy was really their great gift to us.
There's no question about it. What else about Thomas Jefferson do we need to know? Now, one thing a lot of people may not know is that he was a founder. He was the founder of the University of Virginia.
That's right. He called the founding of the university the hobby of his old age.
Well, and he also was the architect there too, wasn't he?
That's exactly right. He designed it really in every way, from the buildings to the whole sort of idea and concept. And he was absolutely convinced that an educated citizenry was necessary to make democracy work.
Right.
And so he strove very hard to bring the idea of public education to the young U.S.
What else would you like to tell us about?
He was a farmer. He was obviously a writer. But he was also a devoted family man. In his retirement, he lived at Monticello with his daughter, Martha Jefferson Randolph, and her 11 children.
Wow.
And he was absolutely devoted to his grandchildren.
And as we know, he died on the 50th anniversary of the 4th of July.
And that's a really uncanny fact. And up in Massachusetts, John Adams died on the same day.
And something like 8 or 10 years ago, Monroe died on that same day.
That's correct.
I don't know if you knew that or not. Hey, is there a website for Monticello?
www.monticello.org. We have lots of wonderful features on the website, so please check it out.
And it's monticello.org.
Right.
And it's a wonderful place, folks. Go out of your way to go there if you get a chance. And if you've already been there, you know what I'm talking about, and you can't wait to go back. Hey, Elizabeth, would you do me a favor?
Of course.
Go down the mountain and eat some fried chicken for me this week. at Mickey Tavern.
I'll do it as soon as I can.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Quick break. Right back with Dennis Pogue. He's with Mount Vernon. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.